Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Thank you, fans and friends, and everybody else out there. Thanks, my great callers, great guests, great conversation. Now you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show live, broadcasting from Chicago, WTTTY on internet radio. I mean, it's great, it's fun, and I like I've always said, I'm sitting in my studio, great big old window in front of me, if I can say it. And it's beautiful. It's getting dark. They say the weather people say, if you can believe them, it's going to be a little rain and some storms. Well, you know, it could happen, but, you know, it may not happen. But anyway, it's a great day in the city of Chicago. I hope it's wonderful where you are. And I hope you are downloading and podcasting the show, because it's a great show. Every show is a show that can stand alone on its own. And I'm the host, so I should know, right? Some people are, George, you're so close to your show and you're going to say nice things. Yeah. I mean, you got to stay positive about things. You got to do, I mean, no matter how things, low things can go, how bad things get. And I'm not just talking about me or what I do, but, just people, situations in general happening to good people. You have to stay positive. You can't be depressed. You can't be feeling bad because of what someone said, or you don't have much of anything and you feel that God is not listening to your prayers. You have to be positive. You have to stay positive. You have to be of one mind. You have to be, because you know what? Being positive and prayers do sometimes work. It may not work for everybody. I mean, there are so many people who pray, and things get no better. They just get worse, and suddenly nobody believes in God anymore. And that's going around. People, a majority, and it's a survey. I mean, this is national news that most people do not believe in God anymore. They don't believe in organized religion anymore. And that's why some of the churches are empty. You know, and I can understand that's because you got some of these pastors, they are just way out. Some of these pastors are just after your money. They want to buy big homes, big cars, private jets, you know, they want to, and they're just after your money, you know, swindling naive people, you know. But people with brains, people with education, they're staying away from this. I mean, you've got so many people who used to believe in God, who wanted to believe in God, who bent over backwards to believe in God. They have now become atheists. And the churches are not filling up anymore like they used to. And I'm not saying this just to be saying it. I'm saying it because it's true around the country. You know, people, most churches are standing because of donations. They want donations all to build that, you know, that room next to the rectory. You know, they want donations to do this and do that. And most of that money is going into the pockets of these pastors, ministers, bishops, and whatever you want to call them, walking around the church. They have to get paid. They have to make a living. So the more you donate and the more they can keep filling your head with garbage every Sunday or every Wednesday or whenever you go, it's good for them. It's good for them, you know, and you know, it's up to you. I'm not saying believe in God. I'm not saying do not believe in God. I did write a book, a novel, a fictional story about Jesus Christ coming back to earth. It's doing pretty well. people are reading it and I'm getting responses from it, but I try to make sure that people know that it's fiction. It's just it's not a sequel to the Bible. It's not a continuation. It's just a fictional story. And I thought I wrote it because that story has been on my mind for years and years and years, even when I was a little child. And I thought I would just, you know, put it down on paper. It's imaginary, just like I imagined it as a child, seeing Jesus walking down the street, healing people. And it's fiction. You know, a lot of people still do believe in God. A lot of people still do believe in the Bible. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote it, to try to uplift those people who still believe in the Bible and maybe, you know, bring along some of those people who have stopped believing in the Bible. But it's just a fictional story. But I actually think it's entertaining. It's called Jesus Christ, the Son of Man Returns. I've gotten some blowback on it saying, well, Jesus Christ is not the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. You know, and that tells me that a lot of people who have read the book, who have read the title, actually do not know anything. I know too much about the Bible, because Jesus is called the Son of Man. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. And you can find this information in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. And I didn't get too many people disagreeing with the title, maybe one or two, three or four. And there may be some who disagree with the title who have not contacted me about the title. But Jesus Christ is definitely the Son of Man. If you go to church every day, if you're talking to your minister, your pastor, or your church friends, they will tell you that Jesus Christ is definitely the Son of Man. And he's also the Son of God. He's both. He's both. The Son of Man equates God. Man is God, because man on earth was made in the image of God, according to the Bible. Okay. But like I just got through saying, some people don't believe in God anymore. And there is nothing far beyond a miracle that's going to change their mind, a godly miracle that's going to change their mind. And that's true. A lot of people do not believe in God. And that's why some of the churches anymore are empty. And that's why, you know, and a lot of people they don't have the donations to give, you know, every Sunday or every twice or three times a week to the churches. And it's sad, though. I do think there's something up there. I do think there's something around somewhere that's keeping, and you tell yourself, why is Earth, this planet that we're on, why is it the only planet in the universe with people who are walking around? You know, there's other planets. We got about 9 or 10 planets in the solar system. And this is the planet with where there's life. So there has to be something. The moon, the stars, you know, I mean, this stuff just you know, you got people saying evolution or sonic boom and all this kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, and who knows? Something is out there. Something is keeping this afloat. You know, something is keeping us here, you know, because when we die and everybody's going to die, we're all going to die. You know, we're for everyone that dies, there's someone that is born. So this is kind of balances itself out. So, you know, and we're all going to die. That there's no doubt about that. But we don't have to die as soon as we don't have to die before, you know, we get a certain age. And a lot of people do wind up dying. When I say dying before we get a certain age, you got a lot of kids, children in the city of Chicago who are 6 and 7 and 10 and 12 years old who are struck down by a gangbanger's bullet. Now, that's way too early to die. You know, I mean, if you get into your 80s, your 90s or your hundreds, if you're lucky enough to reach those kinds of numbers, you've done something good in your right. You've done something good in your life, just as if I have written about. And people should respect that. They shouldn't look at old age as being a death sentence. Too many people look at old age as being a death sentence, and that's wrong. Old age should be looked at as experience, knowledge, and capability. That's what old age should be looked upon as. But there's so many people out here, look at you, you're getting old. You know, look at you like you're worthless. You know what I'm saying? Because you're getting old, because you're older. But, you know, they are the stupid ones. You know, they are, because they refuse that getting old is a badge of honor. It means you've been around a long time. If you wind up dying at 20 or 40 or even 50, maybe even 60, you know, something went wrong in your life. You know, something went wrong. Maybe a disease or something, cancer, diabetes, something went wrong. But if you live until your 70s, your 80s, your 90s, yes, 100, you've done something right in your life. And people should respect that. People should look up to you for that. You should seek out your knowledge, things you know, the places you've been, the people you've met, you know, all of these things. And they, like I said before, old age should not be looked upon as a death sentence. You know, it should not be looked upon as that. All right, you're listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show, Blog Talk Radio, WTTTY. It is 6:30 straight up Chicago time, 6:13 p.m. straight up Chicago time. I believe it's around 80 degrees near the lake where I am. It is so beautiful out here, folks. I mean, it's falling hard into the evening, but it is so beautiful out here. And I am just so giddy because I feel so good. This is Thursday, and what do we have for Thursday? Let me get out. Let me check the board here. Oh, we have author Dr. Reggie Padden on the show today. Hopefully, if he shows up, you know, if nothing happens, you know, he doesn't decide to call off to not show, you know, we are expecting him, but things happen. Things do happen. We all have emergencies. Sometimes we can't make a certain schedule, and it happens to us all the time. So if it happens, it happens. If he's here, no matter what, the show must go on. And I want to give a shout out to my guest of yesterday, Tamara Rashid. She was great. She's one of my Facebook friends. I have a lot of Facebook friends that call the show sometimes. Even I have some Facebook friends that actually listen to the show. That's great. That's wonderful. And I want to give a shout out to Dick Kay. I think he's one of the greatest radio talk show hosts of all time. He's only on one day a week, Saturdays, you know, and he gets a trove of callers and guests on his show because he's such a popular guy. And, you know, and he's a guy that I actually look up to and I actually admire, even though we've never met in person, but we are Facebook friends. And sometimes that's just as good. You know, all right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Block Talk Radio, 347-857-1762. That is the number into the show. Call in or just sit back and relax and just listen. We have so much to do sometimes on these shows, and it's fun. And this August is my second anniversary doing the show, and hopefully there'll be many more. All right, we're gonna go to a musical break and we will be right back, folks. Stay right there. Oh, righty, we're back on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. Donald Trump, the presidential candidate for, this guy. Well, we all know Trump, okay? So that doesn't have to really be any introductions. Calls Hillary Clinton a bigot. There's no bigger bigot than Donald Trump. He's taking the words that people fling at him and trying to use them on Hillary Clinton. Nobody is the biggest liar, the biggest bigot, the biggest bully, the biggest blowhard, the biggest liar. Donald Trump lies every time he opens his mouth. Every day he gives a rally, he changes his positions on whatever issue he's talking about. You can't believe him. He will be the same kind of person in the White House. His surrogates, they're all over the television screen trying to shore up votes for this guy, trying to shore up African-American votes for this guy, and it's not working. He's only gotten 1% of the African-American vote, and he's trailing Clinton. No matter how he tries or trash Clinton, he trashes Clinton. No matter how much he tries to trash Clinton, her poll numbers go up because people do not want Donald Trump. And some of these African Americans that's supporting him, I think they're just somebody just kicked them in the head or something. They're just as bigoted and racist. Maybe they're on the payroll or something. You know, they have to be on the payroll. You know, some of these people are just lying for him, trying to defend him. It's just ridiculous. And the media, the newspapers, the media, I don't think they like Trump anymore. You know, I mean, because he has really blasted the media for what? For telling the truth about him? It's all over the place where he's saying dumb things and dumb things. You know, and he's a total liar. I've stated on the show yesterday where he lied twice, that he lied once. He lied when he said he met with a NFL official about the timing and the placing of the debates, which they have nothing to do with. Then he lied about meeting with an high official in the Chicago Police Department, and everybody denied that. That's a second lie. But I'm talking about two lies among he may have lied about 50 or 60 or 70 times during this campaign. You know, I wouldn't put any of that past him. And tomorrow he's going to say something different at one of his rallies. He just keep changing his mind on his positions. Once he wants to build a wall, and then he doesn't want to build a wall. then he does want to build a wall, and you know, it goes on and on and on and like that, you know. And then he's softening his tone on immigration, and then he's not softening. You trying to keep up with Donald Trump is like walking through a maze. You're just going to keep going around and around and around and not getting anywhere. Well, anyway, Hillary Clinton, it says here that she torches Donald Trump. And this is her talking. I'm quoting, taking hate groups mainstream. That means that Donald Trump is just, you know, egging up all of these hate groups around the country. And it is a lot of them, folks. Hate is just so in your face. It is so in your face. And it's not a shame. You know, I just saw a posting of some Republican who lost to a African-American. And she said, basically, her quote was, the nigger won. She lost. She was a Republican. She lost to, I'm assuming she lost to, I haven't really gotten into it, researched it much. But from what I understand, she lost the race. And to an African-American, and after she lost it, she taken to social media to say, I lost, the nigger won. It's the big the bigotry is just so prevalent and out there, and it's not a shame. The hate is just, and Donald Trump is the, I think Donald Trump is the blame for a lot of the hatred out there. And I have to put some, not all, but maybe about a third of it at Obama's door. I know people are going to say, oh, George, are you blaming Obama? No, I'm not fully blaming Obama, but I'm going to have to put a third or a fourth of that at his door. But I do think that Trump has just taken the hate and it's just simmering and boiling over. You know, it's here. It is here. It's going to stay. We need a leader that's going to bring our country together, because it is falling apart. We are divided. The haters here, the non-haters over there, the Democrats here, the Republicans there, the independents in the middle. We are divided down. We are sliced up. You know, we are a sliced up company when it, a country when it comes to groups of people. We're not together. You know, and so we need a leader that's going to bring this country together, make it whole again, because it's not whole. Racist bigotry. I mean, it's here and it's here to stay. If we don't get a leader that's capable of bringing the country together. Sorry to say, it wasn't Obama. Obama did not bring anything together. Obama admitted that he could not bring the country together. He felt sorry and depressed over the fact that he could not bring the country together. After 8 goddamn years, he could not bring America together. He could not make America whole. The racism and his cowardice was just too strong. I said it, and I've said it before on the show, you know, so that's just me. That's just the George Wilder Jr. show. And the bigotry is here. The hatred is here. Donald Trump is saying that blacks should vote for him and not Hillary. He's saying these things in front of an all-white crowd. He turned down invitations to meet with black organizations. He turned down meeting with the NAACP. He turned down meeting with the Urban League. He turned down meeting with other black organizations. He turned them down flat. I mean, if you want to get, anybody can tell you, if you want to get African-American votes, you have to go talk to them. You have to speak to them. You can't speak to them from a million miles away with a crowd with an audience of nothing but white people and say, you guys should vote for me, when you turn down going to speak, when you turn down invitations to speak at these prestigious organizations and institutions. he's backwards. He is so backwards. I don't think you can really tell Donald Trump much. I don't think some of the people in his circle can talk to him and try to direct him in the right way. I think Donald Trump has a mind of his own. Donald Trump is about Donald Trump. All those people around Donald Trump, they are getting paid to make Donald Trump look good. They are getting paid to make Donald Trump sound good. If Donald Trump makes a stupid ass statement, their jobs is to go and try to clean it up or to turn it around and make it positive. They're getting paid for that. If Donald Trump says something off the wall and goofy, their job is to go jump on television, somebody's show, get on the radio and try to explain Donald Trump's meanings of what he was trying to say, try to explain all of this stuff away. Sometimes it works. Majority of the time, it doesn't work because I don't think Donald Trump is trying to revamp his campaign. He's trying to turn it around. He's trying to sound a little more softer. He's reading from teleprompters. Sometimes he reads from them, and then sometimes he just speak impromptu. But they would rather for him to speak from a teleprompter because he won't make as many mistakes as he does if he decides if he does not want to speak from a teleprompter. And he's criticized Obama 1,000 times about using a teleprompter, and he winds up using one. So the guy is just full of hypocrisy. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY, on Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to have some fun today. I have something on my screen. Let me read it. Some people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If some of us are successful, we will win false friends but true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. What you spend years building can be shot down overnight. Build anyway. Give the world your best. Give the world the best you have, and you might get kicked in the teeth for it, but give them your best anyway. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Great guests, great callers, great conversation. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air, and we're going to have a great time here, folks. We're going to do this right quick. We should be right back.
Thank you, this. Massachusetts, for the great honor of serving as your senator. Thank you, guys. What a night. Wow.
Come on! You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That was a little ditty. I hope you enjoyed it. Okay, all right, let's see. Okay, all righty. We did have a phone call, but someone just decided they did not want to call. Okay, Hillary Clinton torches Trump, talking about hate groups, mainstream hate groups. Okay, on Donald's on the defensive. Clinton is a real racist. Clinton is not a racist. Hillary Clinton is not a bigot. You know, these are just things he's taking her words and other folks' words, and he's throwing those words back at them. Okay, this is what he does. This is how he does. You know, this is Donald Trump. What can I say? This is Donald Trump. Okay, let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. Yes? You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
George, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Hi, this is Dr. Padina. How are you?
I'm okay. Dr. Reggie Padina.
That's right. How's it going?
All right. Okay, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for being a part of it. Okay, tell my audience what you do and all about yourself.
Well, you know, I am the author of a brand new book that just came out in April, Get Out of the Dumpster, a True Story on Overcoming Limitations. And it's a story how I was able to go from being a high school dropout, basically hauling garbage by hand for pennies a day, to begin a journey of self-betterment and self-improvement to today. You know, I enjoy a very successful career, and today I'm a PhD and able to do so many great things to help other people get out of their dumpsters.
Oh man, that sounds great. And I applaud you for that. I mean, I applaud you for that, because you're taking your experiences and your negative experiences, and you're trying to help other people who are probably gone through some of the things that you've gone through. And
what I tell people is that it doesn't matter your situation. You know, I heard a little bit about you, what you were saying earlier, and you know, how people use words to make negative inferences about other people. And mm-hmm. that's gonna happen throughout our lives. You know, people are gonna do that. You know, I come from the Latino community, where at times we're not given the same validity that other communities get. And we can either accept those words, or we can reject those words. Or even better, use whatever words are thrown our way and use it to our advantage. And make something, you know, prove people wrong. And so I tell people, look, you're gonna face some difficult moments. You're gonna face some dumpster moments, what I call in my book, dumpster moments. But whether or not you stay there, it's completely up to you.
Yeah, I agree. We're all gonna, at some point in our lives, we're all gonna have a lot of bumps in the road. You know, that's just life. You know, bumps in the roads are just life. But you have to be strong enough to pick yourself up out of the dumpster. If you're not, then you're going to stay there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the reality is that sometimes we don't have, you know, like, for instance, when I was in the dumpster, and my story is, you know, I dropped out of high school, and the only job I could find was as a janitor. And I started working for this company, and I didn't know they were actually going out of business. So one of the things they cut right off the bat was the waste management company. And so my boss called me into his office, and he said, look, I want you to get a company truck and back it up to every single dumpster around the company and haul the garbage out of those dumpsters. So I was chest deep inside those dumpsters, and I had to drive it all the way to the landfill, drive it to the landfill, dump it there. And that was my job. And I don't know if you've walked by a dumpster in the middle of the summer. It's not a pleasant thing.
I live in a building, and I have a studio in the building, and we have a couple of dumpsters outside in the back alley. So I know what you're talking about. And also, I,
man,
as a
okay.
youth, as a youth, as a young man, I used to also work on a what some people call a garbage truck. But you know, I elevated myself from that too, also. So absolutely. You know, you're not the only one.
Oh no, and you know, the reality is that you know, people are going to put you down. People are going to put things in your mind, and for a while there, you may even fall victim of believing those thoughts. I did. I know I did for a long time. You know, I believed that was my destiny, but I decided, you know what? No, this is not my destiny. I'm going to do something to change.
Exactly with me. I said when I was on the truck, I said, this is not my destiny. This is just a foot up, you know,
that's right,
to better things. You have to start from somewhere, you know? So
it's exactly. And, you know, and sometimes, George, what happens is that even those very difficult moments become exactly what we need. They become the recipe to fuel our drive to make it out of those situations. And, you know, that those are sometimes the best lessons to learn. It are those that we experience ourselves, not the ones that we necessarily, you know, hear about, or it's those things that we live in. So I tell people, look, if you're experiencing a limiting moment right now, that's good. Use it to your advantage. Learn as much as you can from that negative situation and turn it around for the positive. I believe that people, if they change their mindset and they put a plan together and they work that plan, they can execute that plan, they can definitely come out of them.
Yeah, because I know when I was a young man, even a teenager, I knew that I wanted to be something better. I didn't want to be like my slum neighborhood or my ghetto neighborhood. I knew I was above that. And I just needed that opportunity. I knew that I just needed that opportunity. And that opportunity was to stay positive and stay focused no matter of the negative people that were around me trying to keep me
absolutely
down. I knew what I wanted out of life. I knew I didn't want to hang out with the bad guys. I knew I wanted to go and hang out with the good guys about something.
Absolutely.
You know, so I applaud you for that. I applaud you for that because I too was at the bottom and lifted myself up. And I did it all by myself with no help from anybody.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And you know, that's the thing. I mean, I tell people, look, you have the power in you. If you really stop listening to the negative voices, either inside your head or they're coming from the outside and telling you that you can't, and you find, and this is what actually this is what happens. I mean, what takes people and puts them inside dumpsters is when they lose purpose. And so I tell people, I said, look, find your purpose. I believe, you know, that God created us for a purpose. Everybody has a purpose in life. We're placed on this earth for a reason. And so we need to find what that purpose is and live it out. And at first, you know, we're walking by faith, you know, where we can't see, you know, we can't see the whole picture, but we're moving in that direction. And I tell people that the moment that you begin moving in the direction of your purpose, all the provisions are going to be there along the way. See, the provisions don't come beforehand. They come as you progress, as you start moving forward. And the right people, the right context, the right situations, the right opportunities, the right things will come to your life. And you'll be able to achieve what it is that you want to achieve.
I totally agree. But, you know, people, they just have to reach inside themselves and pull out. I always say that everybody was born with a talent. You know, you were born to do something. You weren't just born to just do nothing. You were born to do something. But a lot of people, they don't know how to reach down inside of themselves and pull out that talent that is surely there. And we got to try to, you know, help them to find that, I think.
Well, and I think a lot of times it's because we're scared, you know, and I tell people, look, getting out of that first dumpster for me, it was much easier than other dumpsters that I've had to face in my life, namely, you know, self-doubt and fear. And sometimes, you know, people don't really go out and venture out into what they feel their talent is out of self-doubt. Well, I can't do this, you know, they don't believe in themselves. And out of fear, what if I fail? Yeah. What if I'm not good enough? What if people don't like it? What if, you know, for me to write this book, you know, I had to I had to overcome so much self-doubt and fear, because I thought, well, how about if nobody likes it or nobody reads it or nobody buys it? And at
that's
the end
what's
going
to hold you back.
Exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. when I finally said, you know what, it doesn't matter. I don't really care if nobody buys the book, but I'm going to write it and publish it. And mm-hmm. you know, it was a great experience, and it's helped so many people already.
Yeah.
Overcome their fears and self-doubt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us some more about the book. What's the name of it?
Well, it's the title is Get Out of the Dumpster.
Get out of the garbage.
So, and I'm using those my real life experiences I wrote the book in a way that would be easy for people to read and easy for people to relate to.
Yeah.
And what I do there, I put a plan of action that I implemented in my own life to get myself out of mm-hmm. that dumpster, the original dumpster, and out of every other dumpster that I've had to face in life. So that's basically the premise of the book.
But you know, if it wasn't for that dumpster, you probably wouldn't be where you are today.
Absolutely. No, that is 100% true. In fact, when I decided to get out of the dumpster, the original dumpster, I told myself, right? I told myself, I'm going to use this story to inspire other people to come out of their dumpsters. And mm-hmm. without that dumpster, I don't think I would have reached the level of drive and determination that I was able to develop. And I tell people, today, as I'm talking to you and your audience, mm-hmm. I'm not living in that rough situation anymore. I'm living in Miami right now. I'm looking out my window here, and I have a multi-million-dollar view. I was able to achieve so much, but mm-hmm. but it's not, I'm not unique in that sense. You know, anybody can do this if they put that plan to action, if they really decide, okay, I'm gonna go for it. And so that's basically what I write in this book.
Yeah, I agree. I anybody can pick themselves up off the ground or out of the dumpster. They just gotta want to do it. And they, like you said, they gotta get rid of those negative voices inside their head saying, "I can't do this. I can't do this." And
right,
a lot of us, when we're trying to move up, we need support, and we need support
absolutely.
From people who are saying, "You can do it. You can do it. You can do it." But also, there's gonna be those negative voices over there saying, "You can't do it. You can't do it." Like I always tell my son, I said, never use the word never say I can't. Say I can.
Right. And I tell people the same thing. You know, sometimes we've been programmed for such a long time with negativity and self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do is reprogram our minds, as we program our lives, in order to move in the new direction. And that's going to mean, you know, I may have to stop listening to certain people. I may have to stop hanging around with certain people.
Yeah.
I may have to start reading some new material. I may have to start listening to, you know, programs like this. I may have to, you know, do my own, you know, research and study and fill my mind and my soul with those things that are going to propel me towards my destiny. And anything that comes in my way, I am going to, mm-hmm. I'm not going to listen to that. I tell people this, right? I said, look, you're mm-hmm. gonna have to pull yourself out of the original dumpster, but we all need other people to actually make it in life. And so
exactly,
what happens
that
is
support.
Once you show initiative, you're gonna have people mm-hmm. who are gonna come alongside you and help. I've had it. You know, when I decided I was gonna come out and I was gonna better myself, I was gonna go back to school and I was going to get an education. It was then that mm-hmm. a lot of people decided I'm going to help this guy because I see something in him. I see that he has a goal and ambition and he's working hard towards it. You have to put in the time, you have to put in the work. And when you do that, people will recognize that in you.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I totally agree with you 100%. If people see that you're trying to do something with your life, if people see that you're trying to make something of yourself, they are going to want to help you. They're going to want to support you because they see it in you. They see because they want to be a part of it because they see that in you. And I totally agree. So
one last thing I wanted to mention with regards to that. You came out of a negative situation, right? And so did I. And we, now that we find ourselves, I mean, it's not that we've made it to where we want to, you know, where we want to be. But
right, we made big strides.
Right. But we're more sensitive to reach back and help other people who are trying to get out. That's exactly, one of the things that drive me. I've been able to achieve some success. I've been able to, you know, make some things happen. Now I want to teach other people. I want to reach back and help other people come out of those situations. So we are going to be more inclined of helping other people come out of their dumpsters.
Yeah, because there's so many people who are. There are so many people who are. And you know what? There's so many people who are trying to get out of those dumpsters, but they just need a little hand, a little help.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you written a book? How was it for you to write this book about your experiences?
You know, for me, I've been at it. I've been living this and really pulling myself off for the last 18 years. You know, again, I went back to school as a 25-year-old, father of four. I had to work multiple jobs, go to school full time. And so I've been living the stories in this book for a long time. But I always felt, you know, talk about, you know, the fear and self-doubt. I always felt that I was inadequate to write a book. Right. And so after I completed my doctorate in 2014, I basically said to myself, what else is your excuse? You know, you have a bachelor's degree. I went back and I got a GED. I have a bachelor's degree. I have two master's degrees. I've been able to grow in my career. I have a doctorate. And so what else is my excuse? So I decided to finally sit down. And so in October of November of last year, I decided, man, that I was gonna, you know, just hunker down and get these thoughts on paper, and by March I was done, you know.
Oh wow, that's great! Congratulations to you.
Thank you, and so, you know, so I tell people, look, there's a story in all of us. There's lessons in all of us that we need to share. Whether it's through a book or there's a podcast or a radio program or just by talking to somebody, we all have stories and experiences that we can use to help other people. And so I think that that's what really drove me to write the book. And that's why I was able to accomplish it, because I felt that this was a story that needed to get out.
Once again, I want to applaud you for what you're doing. I think what you're doing is great, helping other people. I'm out here trying to help other people, and that's what it's all about on this show, or I wouldn't be here because, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there who I don't have anything, but I know there's a lot of people out there who have less than I do. And it's always about helping other people, because at some point in time, other people have helped me through tough times in life. So you want to kind of take it back to them.
That's right. So I want to thank you for having me in your show.
I wanted to ask you about your book. Where can we find your book and give us a website?
Yeah, they can visit my website. That's www.reggiepadin.com. Again, that's Reggie Padin, reggiepadin.com. Or if they go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. Or even to any store, they can place an order there, any bookstore, and say, hey, I want that Get Out of the Dumpster book, and they'll be able to do a search and they'll find it. I think it's gonna help people. There's a plan in there that everybody can put into place. It's very simple to read, practical applications, and I believe it's gonna help a lot of people make it to the next level.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. I hope you come back someday. Would you like a link to the show so you can put it up on your website? People can come by and listen to you talk on the show.
Dal, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. No problem. Bye-bye. All right. That was Dr. Reggie Padden on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and that was great. This is what this show is all about, making the world a better place. And if I wasn't doing this show, I would be out trying to help someone better their lives. And I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to take a break right now. I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. All right, we're back on the show, WTTTY with three T's, the Block Talk Radio, George Wilder Jr. Show on live in Chicago. Okay, we have tornado damage in Indiana. There's a cleanup going in Louisiana. Tornado damage in Indiana and a cleanup where all the floods were flooded out some parts of Indiana. The cleanup is now going on, and a lot of those people have lost everything. And also, don't let me forget to mention wildfires out in California. And so in three different parts of the United States, there have been some devastation. And I believe we have to pray for those people who have lost everything. The only thing that they have left, some of these devastating consequences, are the clothes on their backs. The clothes on their backs, they've lost everything. Furniture, clothes, floods, and tornadoes, you know, bad weather. So we have to, folks, because like I was telling Dr. Reggie, I don't have much. I don't have much of anything, but there's a lot of people out there who have a lot less than what we have. And we got to help people wherever we can, legitimately help people, because there are a lot of people out here trying to scam you. So you have to watch out for those kind of folks. And I want to say the seniors, I hear all the time the seniors are getting mugged and stuff like that. Watch your back. And especially in your homes, seniors, do not open the door for anybody, whether you're living in an apartment or a living facility or your home. Open the door for anybody that you don't know, anybody that you are not expecting, because somebody can say, hey, wow, we're the cable guys. And, you know, and you didn't order any cable. So don't let them in. You know, don't open your door. You will be sorry. And in some cases, you will be sorry. Knocking on your door, the gas man, and you didn't hear anything about gas, you didn't get any notification about somebody's going to visit you to check your meters or anything, do not open the door. You know, people are, it's a dangerous time in America. What can I say? It's totally a dangerous time in America. And we want to make sure, we want to try to keep people safe, especially seniors out here who are totally vulnerable and susceptible to crime, petty crime, you know. So we want to do that because this show is always about making the world a better place. And majority of the time I have on guests, my guests and my callers are all about that, all about that. Will we receive, will we succeed in making the world a better place? We're going to try. Duwanda Jr. Show, Chicago's finest radio show. I don't want to be Chicago's finest radio show. I want to be America's finest radio show. It sounds a lot better, doesn't it? America's finest radio show. Oh, maybe the world's finest radio show, internet radio show. We're going to work on it, folks. We're going to work on trying to get it to being the world's finest radio show, because it's all about making the world a better place. I would not be here. I would not be in this studio, televisions and all this junk in front of me, if I did not want to help other people. You know, I don't have anything myself. And that's the greatest thing about it. You may help, but you will have more than some people have. You know, I mean, if you have a roof over your head, if you have a car, if you have a garage, if you have something, other people don't have anything. They're out here sleeping in the streets. They're sleeping in the parks. They're sleeping by the curbs. You know, they're sleeping by bus stops and stuff like that. And we have to try to help them. But you know what? A lot of people out here that are homeless, some of them are mentally ill. Some of them, even if you took them off the streets, gave them a place to stay, they cannot handle it because they're so used to being outside elements. They will trash that apartment and they will go back out and sleep in the parks. Okay, people like that, you may not be able to help. However, you've tried, at least you made a try at it, you know, and then just move on. I mean, people that you can't help, people that you see you can't move, people who are not motivated, people who are always negative, and you cannot change their mind, their mindset at any point, you have to move on and go to the next person who may need some help, who you may actually be able to think positive them into elevating their life and getting their life together so that they themselves can also be able to go out and help others who were once in their predicament. So that's what this show is all about, helping to make the world a better place. It's not about me. It's not about this radio show. It's not about making money. Lord knows I'm not getting a cent from the show. Maybe that's all I'm getting. But anyway, it's not about money. The show is not about money. I mean, I could have, there are many times when I could have just, you know, hey, wow, if you want me to run a spot on your book on my show, that'll be $29 a month. Do that. Or if you want to be on my show here, fill out all this documentation. You know, I don't do that. Only thing I do is I book guests. I say, you want to be on the show? I read their bio. I go to their website. And if I like what I see, I read, bingo, you're going to be on the show. That's it. Bing. I give you the information how to do it, and that's it. I mean, a lot of talk shows, you know, you want to be on a talk show, you want to be a guest on a television show, you got to fill out three or four pieces of paper, you know, name, address, and all of this, and, you know, whatever. I don't do that. I really don't do that. I don't have time to do that because this show is always fast-paced. You know, I'm always busy. I try to cut out, you know, me and my son, we always busy. I try to cut out as much work as I can. I don't like paperwork. You know, I don't really like it. If there's a guest that I think will not fit the show, then that guest will not be on the show. You know, I'm not going to fool around. because I'm busy doing this, busy doing that, and I'm always busy. And I try to make it less difficult for people who want to be on the show. I don't believe in making it hard for people to want to be on the show. Basically, all you do is call in. That's it. Or either just you just come into the studio and we are, you know, on the air, period, you know. But you have to, there's no doubt about it. You have to have people around you that you can trust. I was telling this to Tamara yesterday. Yesterday that she's running four businesses by herself. Four. I don't know how anybody could run four businesses by themselves. Four. Yeah. And I was telling her that she need to get some help. You can't be successful by yourself. Not running one business or two business. You have to have help. Even if you go out and get family members, you have to have help. You got to have people around you you can trust. Some family members you can't trust. But she has to find people that she can trust and bring them in with her. She cannot do this by herself. If they're legitimate, if she's legitimate, and I think she is, she needs help. You know, I understand that you want to do things by yourself, and maybe you don't know anybody, and you don't know anybody, but she's got to find a way of doing it, you know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's all about making the world a better place. It is 9 o'clock p.m. Chicago time, 80 degrees at the lake. I think 80 or close to 80, folks. It's getting dark. The sun has died, but it's still beautiful in the city of Chicago. It is great. It is wonderful. We're going to take a quick break right here. We will be, what can we do here? For a short time anyway. We're going to do this for a short time, and we will be right back.
Your president sent a letter out to every school district in America 2 weeks ago. Obama. Don't get quiet, because 8 years ago, y'all was dancing in the streets. Let's be honest. You was twerking, backsliding, somersaulting. We got Obama, we got Obama. Negroes ran around and said, we have arrived. The president is black. Now look at you 8 years later. Has done absolutely nothing for you or your children. I know he's president of all the people. I understand. But all the people are not gay, but he damn sure looked out for them. I understand he's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a Latino, but he looked out for them. He's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a woman, but he damn sure gave white women the Equal Pay Act. So why is it that he got to be president for everybody when it comes to us? But it's okay for him to just be concerned with gay folks sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with Latinos sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with illegal immigrants sometimes. He can pay particular attention to every other non-white community in America, but when it comes to you, you're not allowed to expect anything from him. So Obama sent this letter telling the school districts of America that if you don't want to lose your special ed money, and if you don't want to lose your JROTC money, and if you don't want to lose your No Child Left Behind money, and if you don't want to lose your Title I money, you must allow transgender children. This is 2 weeks ago. This is new news. You must let transgender students use the bathroom of the gender with which they identify. This is what's going on now. So by the new year in New York City, you're going to have a situation where a boy can go into your daughter's bathroom because he's in the process of changing his gender. You're going to have a situation where girls can go into the boy's bathroom because she's in the process of changing her gender. Now, here's my issue with this. I'm an educator. I'm a school principal. The schools are out of control enough as it is. There's no law and order in the high school anyway.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right. I'm sure that we all know who Ann Coulter is. She has a new book. If you don't know who she is, she's a Fox News Republican pundit. She's been one for years. She's Ann Coulter. She's an author. She's written many, many, many books. And she's just written, she has the latest book out called In Trump We Trust. Yeah. I quote, the title of her book is In Trump We Trust. Okay. Another thing about Ann Coulter, she makes some of the dumbest statements about people, accusations about people that would make skin crawl, put it that way. She's one of the dumbest. She's another racist. She's another bully. She's another blowhard. She's another Trump supporter. She criticized Trump, but now she's like so many others who criticize Trump. They are now supporting Trump, Donald Trump. And the reason why I'm bringing up Ann Coulter, she's a Trump supporter, as I've just mentioned. The reason why I'm bringing her up is because she's written a new book. She has written a new book, and I've just said the title of it was In Trump We Trust. Okay, Ann Coulter's new book is called In Trump We Trust, but the conservative pundit, she's a conservative pundit, might already be regretting the title. The book is not selling, folks. Nobody wants it. It's a waste of time. She's lost money on it. Let's go down. That won't be forgotten, she wrote in her book. Except changes immigration policies. Trump did just that. Trump did that on Wednesday night with a plan to offer status to undocumented immigrants, an announcement that came the same night Coulter had held her book party. She was not in the forgiving. But anyway, her book flopped. Nobody buy her books. She had signed books. I'm looking at a book, folks. it's a good thing. Nobody wants that book. You know, Trump, a lot of conservatives, Republicans write books. And this is something you probably don't know. Or you might know. A lot of conservatives write books, publish books. They buy their own books back. No one, just as Ann Coulter is doing here, she may have to buy her own books to make it a number one seller on the New York Times list. Sean Hannity, this guy has bought his books. Donald Trump bought his books. Bill O'Reilly has bought his books. They buy their books. They write them and publish them, and then they buy them back, making them New York Times, putting them on the New York Times number one best-selling list, making you and me think that the Americans are buying the books. The Americans are not buying their books. These guys are buying their books back. They're buying their books themselves. I learned this years ago, and I was appalled at these guys buying their books back. I'm thinking that, you know, it's the number one bookseller. Everybody's buying it. Nobody's buying it. They're buying it. The author is buying his or her books back from the publisher, making it seem as if thousands and thousands of people are going out there buying the books when the rich people are buying their books themselves. That's an atrocity. Well, anyway, her book is a failure. I mean, I'm looking at her right now at a book signing where it's nobody but her and two of her surrogates standing in line. Nobody wants the book because nobody likes Trump, you know, and she may be regretting writing that book about Trump. You know, I don't want to read anything Ann Coulter has to write because she is a conservative pundit. She says a lot of dumb, stupid things. And then she goes out and write books and expect for you to go out and buy it. No damn way. I wouldn't take one of her. Actually, folks, I wouldn't even take one of her books if someone gave it to me. you know, I don't want it because I'm thinking it's junk anyway. That's because that's basically what she writes is junk. You know why I know that? Because she talks junk. If she talks junk, obviously she writes junk. I'm not a fan of hers, and I don't think many people are, or she would not be standing at a book signing where there is no one to sign the book over to because nobody wants the book. It's called In Trump We Trust. And I thought I'd throw that little bit out there. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Poor Ann Coulter. Nobody shows up for her book event. And that's a good thing. My understanding is that Hillary Clinton is leading. New poll gives Clinton a huge lead over Donald Trump. Let's see what it is. We just clicked on it, folks. Let's see. Oh, I just hate a slow computer. I mean, you know, your computer can be slow for all kinds of reasons. It doesn't have to be the hard drive. It doesn't have to be. It could be, you know, anything. You know, somebody could, you know, it could be a hacker. You don't know. All right. Clinton leads Trump by 10 in a nation poll. That's what I'm saying, folks. Every time Trump opens his mouth and says something ridiculous, Hillary Clinton goes up a point in the polls. And that is when Trump becomes more unhinged. I mean, the other day, he was screaming at his rally saying that Hillary is a bigot. I mean, he screamed it. He screamed it coming out of his mouth. He thinks by saying all of these things that it's going to elevate him in the polls. It's just making him look more stupider, more of a racist, more of a bigot. He claims he's not. He claims he's not a racist because I saw a video of him at one of his Trump towers. He was at a meeting. This was not in Washington. It was at one of his Trump towers, one of the buildings with his name on it. Just because a building has his name on it doesn't mean he owns it. He may just have a percentage of an interest in the building. It doesn't mean he owns it. It's just his name is there. They're paying him for his name, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, he was holding this meeting at Trump Tower. I don't know what floor. I'm pretty sure probably higher up. But inside of the meeting was this great big long-ass table, and he sat at the head of the table while other people were sitting around him. Looks like about maybe 10 people were sitting around him both on the left and right sides of him while he was the, you know, only his mouth was going. The unique thing about this, most of the people that were sitting around him were African-American. They were African-American and they were supporters of Trump. Basically, I see them as that 1%, 1% of African-Americans supporting Donald Trump, while the 99%ers are supporting Hillary Clinton, and the independents are probably still making up their minds. But, I mean, you really can't make up your mind for too long. This guy, Trump, is just not it. The point here is that he's trying to pander and get Black Americans to vote for him by showcasing other Black Americans who are supporting him. Some of these people are just nuts, and they're his surrogates. They go on talk show hosts. I mean, they go on talk shows and they try to defend Trump, and sometimes it doesn't work because the host throws them off or cut them off because they start lying and not being truthful. And, you know, it's just ridiculous that African-Americans, prominent African-Americans, are rushing to support Trump. And they're so pissed off that the majority of African-Americans are not in Trump's corner. And it's a shame because they're not in Trump's corner. And it really is a travesty to the Black race, to African-Americans, for a few African-Americans to try to persuade the bulk of African-Americans to vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, that's a damn shame. We'll be right back, folks.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, folks, that was Prince. And now they're saying that Prince's death was accidental. They're saying it was accidental and I think they're still trying to figure out who's going to get his $300 million. And they are already, people are already, folks are already inside of his home. I guess they're planning on making it a museum or something, and they're already there, and he's gone, and everybody, I think there's 1,000 people out there claiming that they're that they are some kin, that they are a relative of Prince. You know, they're trying to get some money, you know, so they're calling Prince's death an accidental death. I would probably rule it as that also. And I would probably say Michael Jackson's death was also accidental, caused by his physician, manslaughter. And so we have two of the greatest stars ever. My preference is Michael Jackson, but two of the greatest stars ever who were accidentally taken away from us. One of the things we do still have, we have their music, and we have the movies that they were in. I think they were showing Purple Rain, Princess Purple Rain, in the park, movies in the park. Yeah, for free. And that's great. Michael also was in a movie. Most of the time, Michael made his own short movies, videos. Those were his movies. But legitimately, Michael Jackson was in a movie. And if you can remember, The Wiz, it was a total flop. It was a waste of money, but he was in it. And my understanding is that his brothers criticized him for being in a movie that totally flopped. And Michael was upset. I guess he decided he wasn't going to tour with his brothers anymore because they were too critical of him being in a movie, a legitimate movie. And I thought his performance was just awful. The movie was awful. But Michael Jackson was a person of tremendous talent. He was more than The Wiz. Or the Scarecrow in The Wiz. I have the movie here, and I don't look at it as being an awful movie. I look at it as being historic. I look at it as being one of the greatest movies that were ever made, because Michael Jackson is gone. Majority of the people in the movie are gone. Richard Pryor, Lena Horne, the guy who wrote all the songs, Ted Ross, majority of the people in that movie, The Wiz, passed away. So that's why I look at it as not a badly produced movie or a badly acted. I look at it as a landmark. And it is. It is. If you see the movie for the first time, you probably like it. But if you're really judgmental, you probably hate it, you know. But the movie itself did not define Michael Jackson. It did not. I mean, Michael Jackson was bigger than the movie. After that movie, he proved that he was much more than The Wiz. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Hillary Clinton is leading Trump by 10 in a national poll. Hillary Clinton has opened up a 10-point national lead over Donald Trump in the Quinnipiac University poll of likely voters out Thursday, which means today, because, hey, thinking about it, I will be off for 3 days. I'm going to do some writing, some editing, and all that kind of good stuff. Then we will be right back here on Monday, starting at time, straight up Chicago time, the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY, on Block Talk Radio. Most likely to vote in November, Clinton grabbed 51% in a head-to-head matchup, while Trump earned 41%. Trump should not even be getting 41%. 41%. 41% of the people want Trump to be president. 41% of the people will be voting for Trump. That's too much hatred. That's too much bigotry. That's too much racism. But as I've said earlier, racism is just, it is just out there. It's not ashamed. It is just out there, and it's awful. It's awful, folks. I was telling you about this. Okay, here it is right here. The Republican mayor of Midland City, Alabama. This is the Republican mayor of Midland City, Alabama, got nasty on Facebook after losing her seat to a black candidate this week in a mayoral election. She was running to be mayor again, and she lost her seat to a black person. And she said, I lost the nigger one. And this is just ridiculous. I mean, racism is right out there. Okay, she's a Republican Alabama mayor, loses the election, and gets racist on Facebook. This is how, obviously, she's a Donald Trump supporter. You know, she's nowhere near a Republican who is a Hillary Clinton supporter. She's a Donald Trump reporter because she used the word nigger. People have to realize the word nigger came from white people during slavery. We were never niggers. We were African Americans. White people gave that name to African Americans. And African Americans use it so freely on themselves, it's pathetic. You know, if you think about it, we are not, black people are not niggers. You know, that's just a, anybody can be a nigger, you know, white, yellow, green, you know, anybody can be that. But it's a name that was thrust upon us during slavery, being brought over to America from Africa, slavery. And somehow that name, white people had pinned that name upon African Americans. So, but anybody can be a nigger. But most of the time, when you hear the word nigger, it's connotation for African American. You know, but anybody anywhere can be a nigger, and it's just a vulgar name. And I try not to mention it on the show, but since this mayor from Midland City, Alabama, called her opponent a nigger because he beat her in the election. You know, let's face it, folks, print media, you see in print media nowadays and in this time, nothing is hidden anymore. Bad words are all over the place. You know, I mean, bad words. Trump the other day said a word. He said his rallies are filtered with bad language, because that's all he knows is bad language. So bad language and bad connotations are all over the place. Racism is all over the place. So, you know, don't feel left out, or don't feel embarrassed or anything like that when you hear or see nasty words in print. Because it's happening, because that's what people are. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 7:26 straight up Chicago time. We are just about off the air. We're going to do this, and we will be right back.
And the master. Americans.